password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
Odysseus!
Welcome to Podgist, episode 312.5. Feedback, 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 feedback.
D Reaper Part 2 Feedback.
Recorded September 17th, 2016 feedback?
Podgist is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg.
Feedback.
And I'm joined by my fellow Diginomes, Ashley McDonald.
Feedback.
Asher Soffman.
Feedback, Seymour.
And Andrew Soffman.
Feedback, Zura.
And I am the one who doesn't get any of the references, apparently. And so first off, we're going to dive into Digimon news. The first bit of news I want to talk about was just the Digimon Tri Chapter 1 dub came out. We're recording this on Saturday. It came out on Thursday. We have an episode that we recorded, Ashley and I, that has not come out yet as of the time of this recording, because we stayed up until like 1 a.m. recording it, and then I fell asleep. So it will come out soon, hopefully. Probably before you hear this. What was that, Ashley?
It was 1:30.
It was 1:30, even better. And since then, we found out that there are new screenings. There's going to be, in addition to that, fan events, that limited release that had been foreshadowed before. I forget the details of it, but I think it's in the next couple weeks. And it's in very limited, small theaters across the U.S. and Canada.
And there's a whole two in Florida.
Yeah, there's also two. You were saying that the two in Florida are all near you, and it's similar in California. Yep. Like, California, there's like, they're... Both of them are in the Bay Area. Nothing in near LA, which is weird.
Hendayo.
Yes, exactly. So that's the thing. I think they are all around the weekend of September 30th and October 1st. Oh no, it looks like some of them are running. Like there's one in Seattle running from the 30th to the 6th. So that's a thing. We'll have a list to link. We'll have a link in the show notes to the list. You can see if any near you. There probably aren't because it's a very limited list, but that's cool. Since Andrew, you weren't on our try dub episode, what's your quick reaction to the dub? Good, bad, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways?
It's certainly a dub. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would, but basically I enjoyed it.
Mm.
Like, sure, a lot of the voices don't work as well as they should have, especially a lot of the recasts, but it's enjoyable for what it is, at least.
Mm. And Asher, can you pretend to have a reaction, having not seen it?
I am amazed by what I totally saw.
Okay, and now we have the only news that we're down for Tri Chapter 3, which should be coming out in a couple days of the time you're hearing this, on Saturday, October 1st in Japan, which time zone-wise is Friday, September 30th in the U.S., basically. And the news is that in the theater showing of Chapter 1 dub, they showed the first 5 or 10 minutes of the movie. I'm confused about the time zone, the time, if it was 5 or 10 minutes, because it felt like 10 minutes, and I've heard conflicting reports online if it was 5 or 10.
Did not feel like 10.
It felt long, but
no. That's
a thing. We have in our dub episode more thoughts on that, and whether we wanted to or not, wanted to hear it, wanted to see it. But other thing is that in the introduction for that, Crunchyroll staff refer to it as Tri Chapter 3 Confessions, which is kind of new information because Japanese title is Kokuhaku, and Japanese words like that don't have a plural. Some words do, like we and pronouns like that, but words like that don't have a plural, so the interpretation of it having a plural is interesting. Might not be official. We'll see when the movie comes out, but that's intriguing. Atmon news, at TGS, Tokyo Game Show, there was a bunch of information. Not a lot of it super interesting to me, just being honest. But the most prominent of that is that the release date for the 3DS game is December 1st.
Aren't there like two?
Of the game?
I don't know. I'm confused. Like, isn't there like a free one and then there's a paid one?
Yeah, I think you're right. There is like some kind of battle arena thing and then a full-fledged game. And I think it's the full-fledged game that's coming out December 1st. But
okay.
For now, there's no news of even an eventual Western release. So, and it's also for 3DS, which is like, if it were for Vita, I would totally import it and struggle to play in Japanese. But 3DS, I don't feel the need to buy a Japanese 3DS just for this game. But for the anime, which I am more interested in, there were more announcements for the secondary cast, which is not that interesting. It's like a roller coaster. It's like, oh, interesting. No. Oh, anyway. It's like 3 of the side Digimon have voice actors, which aren't that well known, and they aren't in that many things. But otherwise, the anime is going to start October 1st. Wait, didn't I just say this? Am I confused? Didn't I say? I said something would come out October 1st. / September 30th in the US. I think I said that those dates for Chapter 3 dub, which are not the right dates. Chapter 3 dub is the 24th / 23rd. The Atmon premiere is the 1st / 30th. So anyway, last news is that Digimon World Next Order is getting a Western release in English with an English vocal track, which is more than Cyber Sleuth got, and it's going to be released physically and digitally. If you've been following any of this news, it's been a really frustrating roller coaster because initially there were reports of it not having a physical release and not being on Vita. And they're like, okay, well, it's going to be physical and it's going to be on Vita. And they're like, no, it's not going to be on Vita. So I think the current, what is everything's been revealed up till now is coming out in the Western regions, like Europe, US, I think Australia, physical and digital for PS4 and no Vita version, even though the game was originally Vita in Japan with dual audio. So like Japanese audio and English audio. And I know a lot of people were upset about not getting a Vita version. A lot of people who bought a Vita for these games, for Cyber Sleuth and Next Order.
Well, at least they can still import it.
In Japan. Oh, you're right, because they can get the Japanese version. That's true.
Yeah.
Unlike a 3DS.
And the possible like, Asian English, if it exists.
But I think everything that has come out since then is not going to be a Vita version anywhere of the English version, I think. So, yeah, like, I think for Cyber Sleuth, there was a, in our regions, there was not a physical Vita release. It was just digital. And there was a one release in Asian territories that had English and was physical for Vita. So I guess it's possible or something like that for this stuff. What the last bit of news I heard was that there was like, I think it was the producer or something explaining that what they've added to this, they've added a bunch of stuff that would make it really hard to, at some point in the process, they decided to just move everything to PS4 and backporting that stuff to Vita would be too difficult. So it seems like we're not going to get that on Vita, which I don't know. It seems like to me this game would work better on a portable system anyway. So that kind of sucks, but it'll be a game. You actually played Digimon World games. I haven't even played any of the Digimon World games.
You haven't played any of the Digimon
World games? No, I'm not expecting to like it. What I've heard from it is that the gameplay seems aggravating and annoying and just like...
Of this new game? Or just in general?
And of Digimon World 1. I mean, I've played...
Digimon World, yes.
I mean, it's kind of like a spiritual sequel to that.
Oh boy, okay.
So, Redigitize?
Redigitize was like a spiritual reboot, right?
Something like that.
So, or like a spiritual remake of World 1. I've played the DS games that were not actually World games in Japan. Or no, I played one of them. I played Digimon World DS, which was a story
game. Don't even know what a World game is anymore because America ruined the word.
America ruined the world, just like everything else they ruined.
I remember liking Digimon World 3.
I think the other thing is that, like, those games, I feel like it might be a lot easier to accept the frustratingness when it's the only, you're a kid and it's like, this is the only thing I have in my world and I'm going to play for hours on end and had nothing else to do.
I think it's also, I played Digimon World 1, not when it was a hot new thing, like several years later, I think. And so the PlayStation graphics are just really annoying, like, in the way that they hindered where I didn't know where to go in Final Fantasy VII. That's sort of same thing.
I won't be surprised if the problem with the world games, like the ones that are the actual world games, is because you're raising a Digimon and then they die.
Yeah, those mechanics don't sound fun to me. Anyway, I'll probably get it when it comes out and I like it. I might be surprised. I tend to like games.
I have like all the Digimon games and I haven't played any of the world. I haven't played World because I'm afraid of it.
It's pretty scary. And okay, so iTunes reviews. We have a new Transgarble review from Kaioken95 in the UK. And this review came out, they added it on December 15th, 2015, which is only important because it was right after our Trying Chapter 1 review. And it's kind of a review of that mentions that. So can you read? Like, you read the title and then I'll Transgarble it?
I sure can.
Okay.
So the title is Prodigious, which is not the title of our podcast.
They're saying that our podcast is prodigious.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not even really what prodigious means anyway.
But that's okay. Whatever. I actually find it really, like, that word, like, I'm so attached to prodigious being our thing that, like...
Right, now I'm looking at it and it's like, prodigious? What does that mean?
We just got to hear Izzy say it.
Well, no, like, hearing Izzy say it in the movie, like, in the Tri Chapter 1 dub, I was like, are they referencing our podcast? No. Our podcast references that.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, I just see people in general saying prodigious, like, just as a random X, like, thing to blurt out. And I'm like, oh, that's a reference to us. No, it's not.
It's not.
In my head. Okay, anyway. So, original title, prodigious. Transgarbled to...
It is an astounding.
Okay.
You guys covered a lot in this podcast.
You guys are rich in this podcast.
I wish I was rich.
Oh, yeah, we wish.
We're not rich. I guess I am.
We wish. Jeff, you are.
No, no, I'm not. I was going to say I'm the closest.
I can barely make rent. Sometimes I don't.
If Jeff did not make any money, I would not be able to pay our rent.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't make any, I guess if you didn't make any money, I could pay for rent, but I would be like, running out of money pretty quickly, probably.
I think you would just have to not buy a lot of other, you'd have to just buy necessity things.
Yeah. Okay, next line.
I like your theories and opinions on what could happen in second film.
It was the flow of both the film and exposure category.
Exposure category?
Yeah, it was the flow of the film.
We're back.
We're back to the hard sex beast.
Oh, well, no, we're not. Yeah, that's what it was.
I thought we got over that hard sex beast.
No, we're never going to get over that. Prodigious.
Gotta get under the hard sex beast. Digimon rocks. Keep up the good work.
Keep a good garment, spring up, and Digimon stone win.
Yep.
That sounded dirty.
Oh. Yeah, that did sound dirty.
Keep a good garment.
Mm-hmm. Keep a good garment. Sprang up.
I like good garments and I cannot lie.
No, you cannot. Let's move on to rejected titles. Okay, so the actual title we used was Red Card, Blue Card, Old Card, New Card. And Ashley, read the rejected titles.
Okay.
I don't remember most
There's
of the
There's a lot of titles. All right, let's see. Righteous Primo Pumpkin. Feast your eyes on the D-Reaper's insides. Such sweet cop-outs. D-Reaper's depressing demise. Has Digimon for a girl.
Can you read?
His Digimon. I can read. Hey, I just had my eyes dilated. Oh, y'all, right. Leave me alone.
It actually is difficult for you to read. I forgot.
His Digimon for a girl. Existence is futile. Don't lose your way in your mind. No, we have to be as one. So don't be afraid. My eyes just listed out.
Oh, boy. How many lines is this?
This is the way to be more strong. Okay, then it stopped. then we moved on.
That was four different titles.
That was four different titles. Attempt resolution of inconsistencies. Attempt failed. Failed. A kernel of consciousness. Digital Fighter G Gunmon. The King of Hearts. Totally not ripping off the Devil Dark Gundam. Crimson Skies. High Road to Jerry. The biggest, most awful, most tragic event in Digimon history. Miracle Makers. No Mon Sky. I feel like Lost in Translation Mon did that recently as a title.
I think it did.
Yeah. Playing a bunch of trump cards. Doodlebug into my brain. Wait, this is a song that I don't know the lyrics.
Bang, bang, bang till my feet do the same. I don't get it. I don't know the lyrics.
Gotta get up. Gotta get going. I'm gonna save a friend of mine. Freedom, liberty, and the blah, 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 pursuit. Freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of sappiness. Quantum leap of logic.
I don't even remember reading most of these. Wait, Ashley, have you gotten far enough in Danganronpa to understand the biggest, most awful, most tragic event in Digimon history?
I don't know, have I?
if that phrase doesn't sound familiar to you, then no.
Okay, let's go with no.
Okay. Now moving on to the RDD poll results. These are the results of our Ridiculous Dialogue Draft, and you can vote on the episode page your favorite quote. This one had was not close at all, but this is also the episode where we didn't have that many quotes, and we just picked one each, and then Ash didn't even do one, so it was only three choices. Anyway, number one by far was me trying to fill time as I try and find the audio file that I put somewhere. Where did I put your audio file? Come on, come on, come on, come on. I know you're here. There you are. Okay, this was the first choice. This was the number one pick.
Mr. Mizuno, not trying to be rude or anything, but aren't you done with that yet?
Moment time.
That's a really irritating thing to say.
It is an irritating thing to say. That's the real arc of Tamers, is that eventually Terrymon learns that saying Momentai is irritating.
That's his biggest character change.
Yeah, exactly. So breakdown by hosts. I was first place, Andrew was second place, Ashley was in third place, and Asher was in the shame spot for not even picking one.
Asher was in the negative points.
Asher was in the you can't win if you don't try.
Yeah.
Winning isn't everything.
And now the results of our Pettage's Fantasy Draft. This is where we pick our favorite characters. And why am I even explaining this? Because at this point, you have no chance of winning if you haven't been playing the entire season, or for part of the season. So let's just do it for people who already know what this is. And if you don't know what it is, you'll pick it up, maybe. So, okay. The picks this round. So the our MVPs, Ashley picked Rika, Asher picked Granny and Zhanyu. I picked Beelzemon, and then Andrew picked every adult except Janyu, Shibumi, and Jerry's dad.
Okay.
Which turned out, I don't think anyone got a point from that. That really broad pick. I was thinking, everyone's going to point. No, because no one picked.
That's true. Nobody picked adult.
The only adult was Jerry's dad that was picked, so. Oh boy, that's kind of sad. But yeah, so. Then we are going to pick. So then based on those points, there were 8 entries, and based on our MVPs, 6 people got points. And we're also going to award points to the most incongruous team and the most desired team. So the teams we have to choose from, we have Jerry either taming Granny, Beelzemon, or Calamon. Jerry's dad taming Gallimon. Kai and Beelzemon Blast Mode, Rookie / Rika and Gallimon Crimson Mode, and Takato with Beelzemon, which actually entered twice. So yeah, what is our most incongruous team?
I don't know. they're just like trying to.
I think Jerry and Granny might be the most incongruous because like.
See, Jerry and Granny is sort of like my most wanted out of these.
I feel like Jerry's dad and Gallimon. No. Rika and Gallantmon.
You're kind of looking at Rika and Gallantmon. Yeah. That means Rika is tamer to a human.
Yeah. I was 30.
That's kind of neat.
Actually, you didn't need to say dirty. You didn't need to say.
Wait, what?
I did, though.
Oh, I get it now.
Well, now I'm like, is that my most desired?
Okay, so I'm going to cast my vote for, I'm going to cast, so each of us gets a vote for each one of these. So I'm going to give a vote to Jerry and Granny for most incongruous. Where, how does everyone else want to spend their most incongruous point?
I'm going to spend it on Jerry's dad and Gallantmon.
Okay, Asher and Andrew?
Honestly, Jerry's dad and Gallantmon, because that could never happen.
Okay.
I mean, that's what incongruous means, right?
Incongruous means they don't match well.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't look right together. I'm actually going to say Kai and Beelzemon for most incongruous.
Beelzemon. Wait,
someone voted for Kai?
No, none of us. I picked Beelzemon as my favorite character, so then that person got a point for Kai and Beelzemon. Asher, Beelzemon. Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
BL. Like BL.
No, I don't care.
He reads
We're
BL.
Done with this season. I don't care anymore.
We're not done with this season.
We are in my heart.
We still need to do a retrospective. Wait, so Ash, you haven't voted your point yet.
I did.
That was my point for...
It was Kai and Beelzemon.
Oh, you're right. Okay. So now, so most desired team. I'm going to go with Jerry and Calamon because I want...
Too real.
I want her to find happiness. And we have a discussion point on that later on them as a team.
I'm going to go with Rika and Gallantmon.
Okay. And Andrew and Asher?
Well, I still want Jerry and Granny.
Okay. Andrew?
Jerry and Beelzemon?
Wait, did Asher pass on his inability to say Beelzemon to you? I swear you used to be able to say it. Okay, so now how does that affect the leaderboard? I forgot to paste this in here. I don't know how it affects the leaderboard. We'll see. You can go on the forum. We have a listing of the current leaderboard. And it's getting close because this is the draft for 312, and there's only 2 more rounds, 313 and 314. And then we will, in 315, announce the winner and then get your shipping information and everything. So, yeah, I guess you could still win if you, in both the next rounds, pick a character that we all pick, 2 characters that we all pick as our favorites, and that we then spend all of our incongruous and desired points on.
Yeah.
So it's still possible if you really know us.
If you make a miracle comeback.
It wouldn't be a comeback, it would just be a start. Yeah. So, okay. So now on to comments. I have this split up into lots of different sections because there are things. We've had a couple different episodes. We got some comments about our T1.2 episode, which was our DigiNoobs episode, where we, Ashley and I, sat down with 2 of our friends who had not seen any other Digimon, but have seen lots of anime, and showed them Try Chapter 1, and recorded their thoughts before and after. And yeah, I guess we were surprised that it seemed like a bunch of people liked it, and I was kind of worried that people would not like listening to people hate on something they like, and also that it was super long because we had lots of different tangents, and even cutting it down. Well, the thing is, we were going to include it as one of the segments in our guest episode, so we thought it would be like 20 or 30 minutes, and then we recorded for 4.5 hours. So, and then I was like, okay, I'll cut this down to like 2 or less. And then I only cut down to 3, and I was like, oh no, still 3 hours, still a really long podcast. But people seem to like it, those who have had time to listen to it. but I definitely listened back to it because we recorded it in December. It's been 9 months. We could have had a baby in this time. And
Slow your roll, buddy.
Slow your roll. We could have had a baby watching Digimon by this point. Anyway.
They wouldn't. All right.
But one of the biggest insights I had listening back to it, which I totally forgot in the 9 months, was that, like, there are so many concepts in the movie that are just, like, not explained because they're not relevant to the movie. But as a fandom, we still discuss as if it's super relevant, like the tags and crests, or I guess the crest specifically. There's no mention of the characters having these attributes. There's no relic. There's no, not even like a, but Ty, you're the courageous one or anything like that. And I think that applies in the second movie too. I'm not 100% sure, but just interesting that, like, as a fandom, we discuss these things. We totally still grab onto, like, well, Ty did this because he's the one who has courage and blah, blah. And it's like, that's so far removed from the text of the movie. Anyway, oh, that was interesting. If you want us to do another thing like that for chapter two, I guess we'd probably do it to time it with the chapter two dub if that ever happens, but it would help to let us know if you want us to do that. Because we would have to force them to sit down again and to spend their time on it. So we don't want to do that unless people actually want to listen to it.
Because I am curious to see if they would, like, come to slowly, like, yeah, get, like, more.
Right. Like, especially over six movies, if they'll, you know, grow endeared to the characters. Did I use endeared correctly there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm a master of language.
Yeah.
So the next segment, comments, these are things that I, for a while, had running notes of, like, things I wanted to talk about in feedback episodes, which I then forgot about completely when we recorded feedback episodes and when I made the actual notes that we would use. So these are things I want to talk about in episode 310.5, which I guess means it was about the last Digital World. Yeah, 310 was the last Digital World episode. And I think in that episode, I talked a lot about how other Digimon seasons and a lot of kids' media don't have parents for the kids.
Meow.
Yeah, Pixel. Well, one problem with this recording out here is that Pixel is much more audible in both of our audio.
Oh, hello. You want to come up? Will you be quiet if you come up?
Anyway, but yeah, I talked about how not having parents is common in kids' media, and I said that it was about escapism. No. I said it was about connecting to characters, that having the kids not have parents meant that you could attach to them more, because if they had parental relationships, then those would be different from your own, and you wouldn't relate to them as well. And I realized after I heard myself listening back to that, I was like, that's not the main reason. The main reason is escapism, that it's much more fun fantasy to see these kids adventuring without parents than it is to see them dealing with a mundane day-to-day life kind of stuff. So just wanted to correct that. We got comments, I can't remember where this is from, but someone was really surprised that we never talked about the kids becoming naked and how weird that was and how naked they are.
We didn't? I thought we mentioned it at least a little.
I think we eventually did in the context of the movie and Takata's Little Tamer, but...
could I forget?
That episode has not come out by the time you're hearing this now, so this is the premiere of Takata's Little Tamer. Oh, God.
Well, I think we also talked about it in context of Rika having to actually become kind of naked.
Yeah, like that
when she gets her power. Kuyaman even more naked.
Yeah, but I guess it's kind of, I guess we kind of accept it as a trope of mecha anime. Not sure if that's true.
I don't know, but it's a trope of magical anything.
What's a trope?
Being naked. The thing is, like, it's a trope of magical transformation sequences to become naked and then be re-adorned with fancier clothes, but, like, this is weird because they're stuck in that stasis of being naked inside the Digimon, and they keep showing them forever. Not forever, but, like, you know, it's a brief glimmer
they
of nakedness.
They have lights where their crotches are, okay? Well,
are they really naked, or is this just, like, a bunch of philosophical questions?
Doesn't matter, because we have to see them being naked.
Is it a representation of the soul?
Does it matter?
I don't think physically they're inside anything, physically being naked or anything. It's just a metaphor or whatever. But yes, visually they're still showing kids being naked on screen and stuff.
Who did this?
Who made them naked?
Whose idea was this?
It's not uncommon. I mean, Sailor Moon is naked when she transforms.
But
later on.
I think it's fundamentally different for transformation sequences because there's only a brief glimmer in between states.
True, but I think it's the same sort of idea where they're in a liminal space that's not part of the real world.
Yeah, the thing is, I think magical girl transformation sequences are much more overtly sexual, you know.
Boob jiggle and kill the kill.
Yes, they are, totally.
Yeah, that's the extreme,
all,
actually.
Like, it's sexual except for the, which one? Happiness Charge Precure, which they have a, what's the barber thing called?
Sweeney Todd?
No.
The,
it's like a cape Like, when you get a haircut, it covers your body. What is that thing called?
I think it may be called a cape.
Well, they use a fashion one when they transform, so it covers everything.
Mm. I think that makes sense for kids' properties. Because, yeah, I think even the Sailor Moon was definitely targeted towards kids. I think there was a part of, like, well, they're high schoolers, so, like, wait, no, they weren't
high school. They're middle schoolers.
Yeah. So, I think there is still a...
Oh, my God, such annoying middle schooler.
But anyway, there was a, like, this will appeal to an older audience if we do this kind of stuff. And that's not great. It's kind of gross. But yeah, I mean, the transformation sequence thing reminds me of when Final Fantasy X-2 came out, and it was definitely going for that, like, sex appeal through transformation sequence kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, X-2.
Anyway, now on to holdovers from 311.5, which was our, 311 was our first episode about the, when they come back to the real world and face the D-Reaper and stuff. This actually isn't a comment from those episodes in particular, I guess I wrote it down around this time, was how much of a missed potential it feels that, this is actually inspired by reading One Piece. I can explain once I mention what I'm talking about, is that, like, the characters in this world meet the sovereigns, which are, like, the gods of the digital world, and it's never brought up to really be that big of a deal. You know, like, I guess, Antilamon? Lopmon expresses some, like, oh no, I'm scared to confront him or whatever. But the other characters who have lived in the digital world for a while are not like, oh my god, I'm facing our god. I've seen our gods. Like, I am not able to deal with this. They're just like, oh yeah, it's just the thing we're doing. It's just like everything else. I think it was actually inspired, I thought of this because of the Fisherman Island arc of One Piece. And just in the beginning of that setup, they go to the palace and they're with a bunch of characters who live in that kingdom and have never gone to the palace. And they're like, oh crap, like, we're seeing the royal family. This is a big deal. And yeah, analysts agree that it's a missed opportunity here. I guess similar things happen in 02, but we don't really ever get the sense that those characters lived in the digital world that they're with. So they're not like, oh my god, Azulangmon, you are our god. Whereas Tamers tries to be like, this is a real world with real dynamics and stuff. And then when the errors are more prominent, it frustrates me. Mm-hmm. The second thing I had written down from this time period was a Facebook comment, which was actually inspired by the episode 42 recap, which I forget what that recap was about, but the comment was from Brooks Austin, and they said, actually, Ash, can you read it?
Can I just say how glad I am Tamers didn't have Rika ditch her toughest tails. That's literally what I was about to say. Can I just say how glad I am Tamers didn't have Rika ditch her tough as nails attitude and look, I'm reading it first. It's a long sentence. Can I just say how glad I am Tamers didn't have Rika ditch her tough-as-nails attitude and look as part of her character development, and instead had her family come to understand and accept her more? Digimon Adventure writers should take note.
So I thought this would be a good point of conversation, because I totally agree in the way that Rika's development affects her, like, how it ties into her family, because I do think her family, you know, like, she didn't have to come to, you know, in the same way, in a way that, like, Sora had to, you know, eventually do things that her, like, eventually, I forget, like, accepted the dynasty of her mom's Ikebana stuff. And here Rika doesn't really, like, change, she doesn't become a fashion designer or a model like her mom or anything like that for her family to accept her. And but I do find it frustrating, because, like, her dynamics with the other Tamers totally does have her need to change her attitude and change her tough as nails attitude for them to accept her, you know, like, especially that scene in the end where they are all flying to battle and they're like, Rika used to want to fight us, but now she just wants to argue with us, ha ha, that kind of stuff.
There's definitely, like, a Rika, you're, like, less tough now, you, like,
yeah,
keep some of it, but you're a little softy inside. You become tsundere.
Which, yeah. So as much as I appreciate this from her family was able to accept her without forcing her to change, it's frustrating that the other kids forced her to change. And I think that's much more, I don't know, I feel like other kid relationships are much more able to affect someone and shape them than family in some ways.
I suppose.
Like, as much as a family can try to convince people to turn out one way or another, I think your peers are much more influential. So, it's sad. Anyway, so now on to comments from 312 itself, which is what this episode is supposed to be about in theory. So 312 was our last episode about the Tamers series, TV series, about the end of the D-Reaper arc and the end of the show in general. So first thing I want to talk about was Homoerotic picked for their fantasy draft, Jerry and Calamon, and then also had some comments to say about it. So they said, they've never been able to confirm if it's official, but the scene where the Digivice unstatics, like where Jerry's Digivice has static and then kind of stops being staticky, makes them think that they become partners. So it actually wasn't, I didn't remember that scene at all. And I was like, wait, that happens? Her Digivice becomes, like, loses the static? That's important. How did I miss that? So I went, when they mentioned it, I went and found a GIF of it. I made a GIF of it, I mean. And so we'll have a link. We'll have the GIF in the show notes. But the conclusion I kind of had from that was that it's kind of not so clear that it's just losing the static. What I think it is more that it is static and it's black and white, and then it shines with a color of a Digivice, and that shining obscures the static. So I think it's unclear if her Digivice then goes back to being staticky, you know, doesn't have a Digimon partner anymore, or if it stays some other color or what becomes normally functioning. So I don't know. My reaction is just, I don't think the show, there's much evidence for them mechanically being partners, like official tamer and partner. But I think the imagery of them being stuck in that core the whole time and Kalamon being the one to like help her out of it and everything, it does feel very much like a Digimon human partnership. So I think even if they're not officially tamers, I think the imagery of them being a pair and being a partnership is really strong. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, in terms of, like, framing and choosing how to set up the characters and who to show them with, I think the fact that they show them together for so long kind of give them more relationship dynamics than any other characters. Well, I don't know. Maybe not more than any other characters, but definitely is a strong amount of development.
I mean, they're currently together in the movie.
Yeah, which I missed when we watched it, so.
Wow, well, you failed.
Yeah, but, yeah. They're spiritual partners. And then we had another comment from Twitter from Rogatex, and the context of this was replying to the episode 49 recap, which is the episode with the Renamon gender doesn't exist line kind of thing. And they said, I think Renamon says that because she doesn't want Rika's mother to dress her up too, like Rika. And that is something I never considered before, because yeah, there, I forget the exact context, the exact script, but it's something like, Rika's mom saying, Renamon, you're a girl. And she's like, well, actually, Digimon don't have gender. Like, it could be a like, oh, please, like, I don't want to be like caught in this, like, you're trying to dress me up kind of thing. Or just like, I don't want to be caught up in this family relationship.
You know, I mean, the tone of it does not come off that way, but.
I think it's hard for me to tell, because like, I've internalized that line as being a capital I important line for the Digimon lore. So I read it as just like, that's a very serious line, but maybe it wasn't intended to be.
I mean, I guess, I feel like the way that she said it ended up coming off very serious, but if I do remember, her face is kind of funny during that whole conversation. Like, she's like, just stop talking to me. It's weird that I'm just, like, sitting with other humans.
Yeah.
And she, like, has a sweat drop on her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I misinterpreted it from the vocal inclinations alone.
Yeah, Ash, you seem to have a vocal reaction. What do you think?
Yes, I have such a vocal reaction. I mean, that sort of redeems it for me if she just doesn't want to get dressed up. But, like, I don't have any strong feelings about it.
Asher doesn't have strong feelings, period.
I don't. No, that's not true. I do have strong feelings sometimes.
He just waffles around in life.
Okay, well, one last comment. This was from Ember Moto on our forum. So there are 2 points I wanted to talk about. So the first one was, they said, I feel so bad for Ai and Mako. Poor kids just became official tamers, only to lose Imban that very day. Poor kids don't even get to spend that much time with him, unlike the other tamers who get to spend a whole lot of time with their partners as well as Imban. And yeah, I never made that connection, because I always thought of Ai and Mako as like, you know, being with the show from the very beginning, but I never realized that, like, yeah, they get their Digivice and then immediately after they lose Imban. That, and like, they're young too. Like, that must be whole levels of tragic to them. That sucks.
They're reunited and then they're ripped apart.
Yeah. Even reunited too. Like, they weren't with Imban in the digital world. So it's like, he finally came back and he, you know, like, is more accepting of us, and we got Digivice, and now he's gone. That is a hell of a roller coaster. That sucks for them. I never really thought from their perspective too much. So the other comment was on the similar lines. Ember Moto said, one thing I wish is that we could have seen more of Ai and Mako interact with Imban. I feel like they would have a very unique partner-tamer relationship. I would have loved to see that relationship grow and develop the same way we get to see some of the other tamer-partner relationships. And so that just reminded me that I've seen, you know, like, one of the most, not loud, but one of the most common ways in fandom and social media and stuff to express love for a series is just to be like, where's season 2? Like, mrr. So when people are hyped about like Adventure getting a sequel, getting Try, people are just like, well, where's Tamers season 2? And that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's cool stuff like artwork. There's a really cool piece of artwork that I think it's the main one that goes around a lot that gets circulated of the 3 main kids growing up. And it's like, that's cool. And everyone's like, where's season 2? But I feel like there's never really been that much of a compelling case for like what would be explored in season 2. You know, like, there weren't really that many lingering threads that would be like, I need to see how this turns out. But seeing Ai and Mako grow up. But like, seeing Ai and Mako grow up with Imban, and seeing Imban, you know, kind of get over his Tsundere, I don't want to be friends with these people, but actually I do. But also seeing him grow up and be more accepting of, like, he has dorky kids, like, he has dorky tamers. He has little kids, and seeing them grow up and see how that affects relationships. I think that would be really cool to see. And it's the first time where I'm like, that is a compelling reason for season two to exist. Other compelling reason, which I joked about on Twitter earlier this week, was the revelation that, so in the Tamers, nebulously in the Tamers canon, is the idea that they have seen adventure. I think it's explicit in the English dub, not so explicit in the Japanese dub.
But it's explicit in the notes for it's explicit, Tamers?
Yeah, it's explicit in Konaka's planning notes and in the Hunters reunion episode. And yeah, I think Konaka's notes spell
so
out...
So confusing.
Konaka's notes spell out the plan to make it. Like, he was like, maybe there'll be a crossover episode at some point, but I don't want it to be like the emphasis and stuff. So he was like, it was like, I think a card up his sleeve he didn't really want to employ yet or whatever. But anyway, if we accepted it, that it's canon that Takato and co have seen an adventure and 02 or whatever, I think a compelling case for season two of Tamers would be 15 years later, they're watching Try as Try airs. That would be amazing. With their kids, sorry. With their like 8-year-old kids or whatever. That would be great.
What? Wait, why would the kids be 8?
No, I'm saying, okay, so the kids in the context of the show are 10, right?
Right.
So if 15 years, so 02 finished airing in 2001, and then 15 years later, they could have kids who are 8 years old if they had kids 7 years later, which I guess is pretty early.
That's a bit early, Jeff.
That's early, but it's also, when we talked about Dolphin and his kid, Dolphin's kid had kids when they were 17. So maybe they'd be young kids, maybe they'd be like...
Don't you know that nobody in Japan has sex anymore if they're, like, between the ages of 18 and 34? I was reading an article about this today.
Between 18 and 34. That's why they have to have kids when they're 17. Before it sets in.
No, but it was, like, that half of that age group is still a virgin.
Jeff, stop promoting teen pregnancy.
I don't know. It worked out for Rika. I mean, it worked out for Rika's mom, not... And
wait, how old's Rika's mom?
I always assumed that she had Rika when she was about 16 or so. I might just be... blurring it in my mind with Gilmore Girls and Jane the Virgin, though.
So. Jeff only watches things that involve...
like three or four generations of women.
And families. They all have to have kids when they're in their teens, because realism on this little...
That's a weird pattern. Like, there's no reason why those two things, like, why a long lineage of women and only women in the family...
God forbid you have kids when you're 30.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird societal message that reinforces that, like, and it's also if it's across cultures, like if it's like a U.S. thing, a Japanese thing, Jane the Virgin is kind of a intersection of U.S. and anyway.
Hispanic, is that what you were looking for?
No, I was trying to remember the country where the grandmother comes from, and I can't remember what country it is.
Venezuela.
Yeah. Oh, Ash knows about this now.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Like, Ash came to your rescue.
What is this television?
Ash, Jeff, how much have you seen?
Ash... I've watched all of season one and two.
Oh, wow.
Upset about it.
I cried when they revealed Mateo's name.
Seriously?
Yes.
All right. I wasn't that upset about it.
Oh, boy. Because I had read a summary, or like I read something from season two, so I actually kind of knew that his name was Mateo, but I'd forgotten. And then like right before they revealed it, I remembered the grandfather's name. And then I was like, oh no!
I thought you said you didn't want to go on weird tangents that you have to edit out.
I can't edit out Jane the Virgin.
Well, you can, you just don't want to.
No, I'm physically incapable.
Really now.
So now on to our question of the week, which kind of used to be our voicemail question, but we didn't get any voicemail answers. So
it's not a question of the week. But we asked it on social media, and then a lot more people responded than usual. So we're like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, so we're considering, I don't know, I think we should still in the future have it, we want to ask like questions like this, and then let people send in voicemails if they want a complex answer, and we'll have it open for social media if you want to send in a quick retort kind of thing. So the question was, what lessons did you take away from Tamers? So first off, Twitter responses. May from Lost in Translation Mon said the lesson was, Rio is bad, 10-year-old me is wrong.
So did we all realize.
Yep. Because I think we all had the, like, we thought he was so cool as a kid. And
Yeah.
So May also said, also Tamers, while better than Adventure /02, has low parts and can be overrated, which is totally a thing.
Totally.
Tamer's the best thing ever. It'll be Tamer saved anime.
Mm-hmm.
I actually should have asked for clarification on this. So the next response was from Wu Qinglong on Twitter, and they said, Momentai is Cantonese, and Lee, which is Henry's family name in Japanese, they said, and Lee should not be assumed to be Han, lest we passively further promote Han chauvinism. And so I did not know enough about Chinese culture to understand this tweet. But we since looked into it and Ash explained stuff to me. So we parsed it to now mean that. So Momentai, the word, is Cantonese, not Mandarin. And Han Chinese are the dominant ethnic group of China. Like 92% of mainland China, I think, is Han Chinese when I looked up on Wikipedia. And Han Chinese typically speak Mandarin, not Cantonese. And I think there is a general assumption when someone is Chinese that they're Han because it's the dominant cultural group. But the fact that Momentai is Cantonese, not Mandarin, means that we shouldn't just assume Han. And that's more evidence to show that there's some other ethnic group other than Han. So, and just assuming Han would lead to erasure of other cultures. So
that's not what we about, yo.
Yeah. But it also taught me that I knew next to nothing about Chinese culture and society. And now I feel bad.
We do feel bad. Again, because many of my friends are Chinese.
Again, but the section I edited out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's tough because I feel like all of the part of my brain that's gone towards learning other society and other culture has been towards learning Japanese culture and society. So then it's just like other cultures. Like I have no idea. Like I don't get exposed to any of that. Like the closest thing I've been to being exposed to Chinese things recently has been Thunderbolt Fantasy, which is... it's a Taiwanese production and they use the Chinese names for the characters in the subtitles, and that's the closest, and I assume it's based on Chinese folklores, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well, the production of that show is confusing because the director or creator is Japanese.
Yeah, I think it's a production between Japanese and Taiwanese companies. But I also get...
But they use Chinese names?
Yes.
So the names are all Chinese, but like in Japanese, they're saying the Japanese pronunciation of those names, which is... looks totally different. Like if you translated that in English, looks totally different from the Chinese names. And I don't really understand how that translation between Chinese and Japanese names really works enough. But like if you listen to if you watch the subtitles in English and listen to what they're saying, it looks very different what they're saying. So it's kind of confusing. And kind of as part of that, I have not learned many of the names because they are complex Chinese names and I have so little fluency in reading and recognizing Chinese names. And I feel bad about that. Anyway, it's a really good show though. It's a great show. I just don't remember any of the names.
I feel that I have, throughout my life, had much more... I used to have better, like, cultural fluency because many of my friends were more diverse. But now I mostly hang out with white people. Nothing against white people. It's just I'm not really getting as much stuff from that.
Yeah. Anyway, back on to lessons that people took away from Gamers.
Yeah.
So Gatamon41 said, how to do an intelligent kid show. Kid Bauer / Kid the Maniac said, Jerry's arc always hit me pretty hard. What I learned from that is no matter how bad things get, you can always come back from it. I think that's a really important message. And I think there are similar ones. And I think that's a thing a lot of people took away from it. I don't know if I got that as a kid, but definitely watching it now.
As a kid, you're like, whatever, nothing bad can happen to me.
No, as a kid, just like, oh, Jerry, you're kind of annoying. Like, you were annoying in the beginning and like, oh, just get over it. I don't remember.
You had a sock puppet. You're weird.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're weird. You're portrayed as different than everyone else. So, like, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it definitely has, it's like, I think the recurring thing when people go back and visit it, which is great. Toku Joe mentioned, I learned that Gilman is my hero. I need a box and some peanut butter.
Perfect lesson. A plus.
What they basically said is...
I in a box.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, you guys. My Growlmon helmet should be like halfway done.
Cool story, bro. Homo Neurotic said, I learned about toxic masculinity and technobabble. I also think there's a good lesson on how Jerry learns to move on from her pain / grief.
Toxic masculinity.
Yeah, I guess we talked about toxic masculinity with like Ryo and, well, mostly Kazu, I guess. Oh, Kazu. Kazu calmed down once he got Garjamon. He just needed Garjamon.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Yeah, huh. I guess that's, we never like, we assume that's just the arc of the other characters. We, as side hammers, oh yeah, they get Digimon, whatever. But yeah, Kazu actually really did.
But it just feels so, like, there was no bonding with Garjamon that suddenly, like, helped him realize anything. It was just like, and now my character has changed because I got a Digimon.
Like, now the dynamic is different, and so the character, what we see of them is different.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I wonder if he goes back to being the same Kazu once Garjamon leaves. Actually, do they show when all the Digimon are fading away and like they're reverting to their baby forms as they're going through the portal? Do they show Garjamon?
I think so.
Yeah, he de-digivolves to the little raccoon guy with the helmet.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was just hoping it was like a little tiny Garjamon or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the last comment from Twitter was from Rojitex, and they said, I like Calumon's adventure, showing he's the strongest character ever. I agree that Ryo and Yumaki is garbage.
Oh, Yumaki's not that garbage.
We don't hate Yumaki that much.
I mean, I think there's little explanation for why he hates Digimon so much.
Which could be a really compelling thing to get into.
Especially
Digimon have destroyed things and causing havoc and stuff. And instead it's just like, well, you're getting away with my job. And yeah.
I agree. Calumon's strongest character ever. He almost pulled Takato back onto that Tigrani. Yeah. D'Arc.
D'Arc. That's why I call it D'Arc. It's because D'Arc.
D'Arc, yo.
Joan of D'Arc. Oh, okay. And so now onto Tumblr response. We only got one response on Tumblr. It was from DTC Scout. And they said, I love the message that no matter how bleak things seem, your friends are always there for you. As someone who has struggled with depression, I am very familiar with the thought that nobody likes me and everything bad is my fault. But Tamer shows this is not true. And yeah, I agree. That totally is a really important message. And
no, that message is so hard. It's not something you ever actually learn.
No. I think it's something you do learn in the abstract, but then like it's a difference between knowing something in general and knowing something local to your specific situation. You're like, okay, this is generally true, but my situation is so much different. Like my situation is so much worse. And this is actually my fault. And then only afterwards you realize like, no, that was just like all the others. And it wasn't actually my fault or whatever. And yeah, I definitely struggle a lot on a continuing basis with the thought that nobody likes me and just like, okay, well, was I invited to something or not invited to something based on the fact that nobody likes me? Or was it just forget about me? Did they forget about me because I didn't reach out to them? And then I'm like, well, I didn't reach out to them. So they don't invite me. So then I don't reach out to them. And it's just a reinforcing cycle and everything. And
I would say that it's definitely being an introverted person. Like, even to my best friends, I'm like, well, I don't want to call them because, like, I don't want to bother them. And then I'm like, but then we never talk because they also, like, sort of feel the same thing. And then, like, I call them and I'm like, this is perfectly fine because we're friends and that's a normal thing to do. Like, what?
Or you call them and end up on a call with, like, three other of them.
No, but it was great. It was fantastic.
These things are tough and yeah. So I reordered things initially because I was like, I don't want to leave on this downer note.
okay.
So we have more from Facebook. Brooks Austin said they learned that having a healthy relationship with your kids is important if you don't want them to destroy the world. So that's true.
Those
darn kids.
Although the reverse is kind of true that, we'll get to this, the last comment. So the next one was Zeke Vervin, and they said that they learned that sadness is real when things come to an end. Yeah, Tamer's ending is sad. Because the ending is sad. And Cordell Stevens said, not to trust my dad after I lose my rabbit that turns into a giant dog mech. And so, yeah, I think the reverse of that, having a healthy relationship with your kids is important if you don't want them to destroy the world. Also important to have a healthy relationship with your parents so they don't accidentally turn off the portal to the digital world and make you have to say goodbye to your friends forever, because that's his bullshit, and he shouldn't have done that. John, we're still blaming you.
It's all your fault.
I mean, it's the thing is, like, I want to sympathize with that moment and that really tough decision and stuff. But because it is such a bullshit moment in the context of the logic presented in the series, like, so little logic is actually given for that being a necessity that it just is. I just end up, the thing that sticks with me is blaming John Yu, because I'm like, that was silly. And I know that's not fair. And that's not really a thing. And I'm mostly joking when I'm blaming him, but they blame the show. So we got one question this week for Ask Potages. You can send us questions about whatever for future episodes. This one came from Hialori in our forum, and Ashley is leaving. Ashley, what are you doing?
Light.
Ashley's going to turn the light.
I'm light.
But Ashley, I'm waiting for you to get back to your microphone. But Ashley.
But Jeffrey.
You can hear me, but you're not going to be able to hear anything else. That's why I'm waiting for you to... But Ashley, this is the podcast of...
Supreme Darkness!
Wow, you waited for that?
Of course you did.
Got it memorized.
Okay, so this question came from Hialori on our forum. You can also ask us, you can ask us questions on our forum, and I don't know, Twitter, email, Reddit, with the, I have a thing at the end.
Skywriting.
Forwarding prophecies. Anyway, yes, so Hialori asked on our forum, do you remember the Yamaki is TK, the teacher is Kari, and one of the hypnotist ladies is Toli Yoli theory? Would you have liked more if Tamers was actually set in the same universe as Adventure and Yumaki was indeed TK, who after getting Patamon defeated and absorbed, just loses all hope and turns into the salty man who hates Digimon? And one of the arcs, maybe, instead of the Devas, is about TK getting his hope again. Where would you put the other kids? Maybe Rika's mom is now Mimi, Izzy's one of the hackers, as well as Willis, and anyway, so there's, this initially, the spark for this, in case people don't remember or don't know much about the dub voice actors and stuff, is that, TK's dub voice actor is Yumaki, Kari's dub voice actor is their teacher, and Yomi voice actor is
Yamaki is also Digimon.
No, okay. I don't think TK's voice actor is actually Yamaki. I think they just look similar. I think it's a visual similarity there.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because the other ones are voice actor similarities. And I guess the fact that Kari said she's going to become a kindergarten teacher and then becomes a teacher, and then her voice actor is a teacher later, and it's like,
I mean, well, yeah, she also looks like, and yeah, and then Riley is also just a visual.
No, I think that is the same voice actor. I don't think it's a visual similarity. But yeah, I think so. Not 100% sure. But anyway, I've definitely seen strands of the same theory. Maybe not so much theory, but like when they watched it as kids, they thought that there was some connection. They were just confused because, you know, you miss a couple episodes and you just tune in again. And you're like, wait, why did they change roles? What's going on? But anyway, I just wanted to bring this up because, you know, like, I do think it's definitely not the direction that Digimon went, but I think it reminds me the most of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, where they set up a decades long arc of, you know, put characters in one role and they're teenagers and then have them grow up and now they're the wise mentor or whatever, and, or they're the wise mentor who comes in to deal with manics of having a baby, an invisible baby. That's a thing that happens in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
It is absolutely the thing that happens in JoJo's.
Just another day.
It is just another day. But I think that works really well in JoJo's. And I think in general that having a story that runs throughout generations is really interesting, because I think that is kind of the oldest form of storytelling, is, you know, like folk tales and things, stories that have been passed down over time. And there's just so many things you can, so much more like emotion, I think, you can pull off by introducing a character in one role, have them grow up to be a different kind of character, and then like have them do something else, or just like that ties into their initial characterization. Or, I don't know, I think that would have been a cool direction for Digimon to take. And on the other hand, I like their universe rebooting strategy, because it means things can start fresh. They can have new creative vision. You don't need to be tied to anything. Like that JoJo's Bizarre Adventure works because it is all the brainchild of, I can't remember his name, Araki Sensei. And it is his, you know, like bizarre genius that makes that work. And, you know, a thing like Digimon can never really have that same continuity. So I think for something that, like, on the other hand, Pokemon, I've recently been trying to get into Pokemon because I initially was like, oh, the anime sucks, the manga sucks. And hearing that the XYZ anime was supposed to be really good, the manga is supposed to be really good, I'm just trying to get into them. But anyway, the approach that series takes is that, you know, it's the same Ash going through all this stuff, but like, I don't think there's that same lineage of emotion that people have because they watched it from the beginning. I think it's just like, well, people jump in and they watch it for a while and they jump out and we don't need to deal with that. I don't know.
Yeah, I pretty much did that with going into Black and White.
Yeah, which I guess is a fair approach for them to take, because it works by having Ty remain so static. Or not Ty. I just referred to Ash as Ty. By having Ash remain so static, people can do that and jump in and out. But the idea of having the Digimon characters grow up and then get new roles and then be the older generation and stuff would never work without, I think, a shared creative vision between them all. And just, I don't know. Is there anything that you guys like or dislike about the idea of this theory, wish, desire?
I mean, it would give Yamaki more reason for why he hates Digimon.
Yeah. And I like that it puts TK, like, it paints TK in an actual, like, this is bad light if Yamaki were TK. Because, like, they never addressed it in O2, really. Like, they started to and never followed it up.
Yeah.
I'm all about making TK more complicated.
Right?
Ugh, just...
I don't know how to feel about this tri-TK with his multiple girls and hats.
And Matt.
So I wrote this out as a, quite like, I submitted this question to, I think it was 211 Arts or Toei or whoever it was collecting questions to ask the voice actors at the showing, which I don't know what questions they asked them, but, and I realized, like, this is actually a compelling theory, which is, it was a question to the TK voice actor, which was like, why do you think TK wears so many hats now? Is it because of the loss, like his parents getting divorced and then losing Angemon? He feels that he can't be connected to anything, and if he does have an emotional attachment to something, he'll just lose it. So he just has a new hat every day because he can't accept losing his hats. And I think that's a theory. It's definitely a theory. Anyway, who has a thing they want to plug?
Me.
Okay.
Is it Gargantia of the Virtuous
Planet? It is Gargantia of the Virtuous Planet. It was really, really good.
What is that?
It is an anime. You can find it on Netflix.
Whoa. Anime on Netflix?
It's on Crunchyroll, too.
Anime on Crunchyroll?
Who directs it, Andrew?
Urobuchi.
Really? I would not have guessed.
Urobuchi's a writer.
Well, he wrote it.
Okay.
All right. It was excellent. So it's about this It's set like a zillion years in the future or something. It's about this guy who used to be a soldier up in space, and then he got in a wormhole accident and crashed on Earth, which was supposedly lost. And there are still people living on it, and they're much more primitive than he is, but they have very different values, and also they outnumber him. So he has to learn to adjust to their culture and figure out what his purpose is and whether or not he should have ever been fighting at all. He was fighting aliens.
As you do.
Or that's what he... Yeah.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling it.
Anyway.
He's fighting a thing.
It was super, super good. Very, very satisfying. Although, the end was a little upsetting.
There's a few more episodes.
What? There's episodes after the end?
There's a few, like, OVA type stuff. I forget when they take place, though.
I don't care unless they rebuild You-Know-Who.
Oh, yes. What? You-Know-Who.
Is it Lord Voldemort?
Yeah, because I care about that.
Yeah, it looks like two of them actually take place afterwards.
Mm. Ash, what do you think about the ending of Jane the Virgin?
Don't talk to me.
What?
Don't talk to me about the end of season two. Just okay. Don't.
Like, you don't want to think about it?
I am so angry.
I am angry too.
Yeah.
Like season one ended in a, like, it was arguably much more of a huge deal, but it was, like, such a big deal that it was, like, that can't actually stay a thing for very long.
Right. This, I'm just like, they can't do this.
But they could, and that's what's so frustrating.
Punch them in the face. When's season three coming out?
I think it's a month. I think it's, like, 30 days.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Ugh, it's so good. Actually, I'm just going to, once season three starts, we're going to watch it together, even if we don't know what's going on.
Fave, that's how I did Grey's Anatomy initially.
I think it would work, because it's like, there's so much that happens that isn't actually that relevant later on. Like, you get to like the characters more, but it's not like, and there are callbacks, but like, I think there's so much craziness that just becomes irrelevant that it's okay. Okay, so I'm going to plug something which I think we've talked about in the podcast, but I don't think we've actually recommended it. And it is, I actually don't know how they can be described because there's a couple different names on different platforms, but it's a artist who does covers of anime songs. I think they go by Amelie primarily, but they post most of them on YouTube. You can buy them in platforms like iTunes and Google Music and that kind of stuff. I've discovered them through Spotify. They showed up as like recommended things on Spotify, and I heard a bunch of different anime. I guess what they are is anime songs in English is the thing. And I'd heard a couple of different artists doing that before, doing those kind of covers. And I was always like, this loses a lot of what is so special about the Japanese version, and it's just a poor imitation of it. These are not like that at all. I mean, there is kind of a range of, like, a bunch of different songs, and I do have my favorites, and there are some that I'm like, eh, this doesn't really add much. But the favorite one is Riri, which is the opening song of Erased.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I will also back Jeff's plug.
The original song is amazing. This cover of it is also amazing, which is something, like, I feel like in the past, the only other English cover and anime song that I've liked was a cover from Nate Wins the Battle of the Tokyo Ghoul first opening. And it was because I couldn't find the Japanese version in Japanese iTunes at the time. And I was like, well, this is the best that exists on iTunes, so I was just deal with it, and it's like, it's okay, it's a poor imitation, but it's fine. But this is like, this is genuinely feels as good as the original. Playing clip isn't going to get across the feeling of it. It's a good song. You can find it on YouTube. Good. We'll have a link in the show notes to the YouTube version, and then you can buy it. And you can also like support her on Patreon to get like previews of upcoming stuff and stuff, so it's cool.
There are times where I think I'm like, these lyrics are so simple and like emo, but I'm like, but they resonate so well with me when they're set to music and the way she says them. Like, ah, damn it.
I'm almost like, how can we get her to do to do Butterfly? Like, how can we get her to do it? It's like, it's for a new, like, she mostly does covers of like currently popular anime openings and endings, and I'm like, you know, like, Try's coming out, this is the opening to it, come on, like, what can we she has a bunch of like rewards you can get on Patreon. Like, I think if you give her like $200 per song, you can get a like custom, ask her to sing a song that she'll like record for you privately or whatever. That's the closest thing. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, and she hasn't seen a tweet about Digimon, so doesn't seem to be a fan herself. But maybe, I'll ask her. You can find the full show notes for this episode by going to pottages.com/312.5. You can leave us feedback in the comments section on the site, or you can just let us know your thoughts on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, email, Reddit, With the Will, SoundCloud, YouTube, Skywriting, Foreboding Prophecies, or Color-Coded Smoke Signals.
Pottages is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon, Amanda Anjewoman, David Grauman, Diab Joman. I have a new one, guys. I'm going to work on it. Okay. Jack Santa Agumon, Joe Keto, Justin Blaine Davis, Kai Lunaman, Kaiser Washi, Sam Kriwagaman, and Stevie Patamon.
If you want to support the show on Patreon, you can get some cool rewards, like access to our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, monthly stickers for $5 a month, and early episodes for $10 a month. Reaching our next goal will allow us to make podcast episodes about movies related to Digimon, so check out patreon.com/poddigious to help us out. Want to make a one-time donation to the podcast instead? Our PayPal is paypal.me/poddigious. You can find the link to PayPal and our Patreon on poddigious.com.
You can find Poddigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and gifts related to the show. If you don't like how we pronounce gift, then become a Patreon so you can vote on how we have to pronounce it. You can find me on Twitter as Drew Softman with a T.
Just to be confusing.
Yes.
Clearly. Jeff?
I'm Jefflyn Jeff on Twitter.
Ashley?
I'm AshMcD00 on Twitter.
Other person who has no time for me?
I have no time for anybody, so you can't find me anywhere, but my Tumblr is all on a queue, so you can pretend to follow me at Asher Dashery on Tumblr.
Our Igneous Impmon artwork is by the awesome VmonTamer, whom you can find on Twitter and DeviantArt as VmonTamer. Share the podcast with your friends who pull you out of depression by making you realize you're not alone, and don't share the podcast with your sentient AI programs who cause you to go into depression by making you think that you don't have friends.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, those people. Don't share with them.
Don't do it.
And join us later this week for our immediate first reaction response to Tri-Chapter 3, and next week for our full episode about it. Bye! And remember, never stop digivolving. What was the... Oh, right! There was... Wait, did you guys see my theory in Slack of the shipping canon based on their cell phone poses?
Ashley, you let him on the internet.
What? I'm not listening to him. What do you say?
Where did I post the shipping theory based on headphone poses? Or cell phone poses?
That sounds dumb.
He had to look at too many pictures of them on cell phones. That's pretty much what happened.
I'll post it in the Slack channel. So it's a banner I made for the dub, for our dub episode. And I had to find pictures of them all on cell phones. Because, like, okay, they're talking like a dub. I don't know. And after I made the banner, I was like, wait, they're all like kind of bifurcated into like Joe and Mimi are holding the phone in the same pose, and Matt and Sora are holding the same pose, similar pose. Kari and Izzy are holding them in the exact same pose. Like, it's creepy how much.
And then Ty and TK.
Ty and TK are the surprising couple have come out of this. No one saw them.
They spent time together.
Yeah, but like no one knew they like bonded so much and had their secret.
So who's Mimi with?
Mimi's with Joe.
Right, Joe. Ty.
See, like, Sora's with Matt. It's like they're starting to grow apart and they're kind of diverging a little bit, but they used to be on the same page a lot. And the thing is with like, with Izzy and Kari, it's such a weird combination and no one expects it. But then once you notice it, you're like, oh my God, they have been together at everything and doing everything the exact same way. They've been together for so long. No one knew.
Don't talk anymore.
This isn't my try end game theory.
And this is why no one takes Jeff seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley, turn off your trash music.
Turn off my. Whoa.
Whoa.
Don't you dare call silence. Airscape edit by Delirium featuring Sarah McLachlan.
Actually,
a trash song.
Actually, you are.
We're under arrest.
Am I?
Yes.
I in a box.
We've got to do some singing.
No, Ashley, we're recording, not singing.
I pressed the button.
Good, good. You're on the right page. Okay, here we go.
Your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podigious. Do 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 do. We are recording feedback, which we haven't done for a while. I don't remember what we're doing now. Welcome to Pottages, episode 312.5. I did not write down a title yet because I thought we would discuss that, and I totally forgot to do that. Okay, title is hard for this one. So the original title of the episode was Red Card, Blue Card, Old Card, New Card. The problem is saying, like, feedback is two syllables. So red feedback, blue feedback, old feedback, nude feedback just sounds really clumsy and long.
Feed card, back card.
What? Feedback, 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 feedback.
I like that one the best so far.
That one works.
Oh, but I should do it in the like, in the same kind of like sing-songy voice as red card, blue card, old card, new card.
Feedback, 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 feedback.
And then we should like insist that it's a Dr. Seuss reference, because obviously.
Well, maybe we should make it a different Dr. Seuss reference, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Mm, can you think of any?
Oh, the feedback you'll see. No, wait.
Yeah, oh, the feedback you'll go.
Horton hears a feedback.
Oh, the feed you'll back.
How the feedback stole Christmas.
Where the red feedback grows. That's not Dr. Seuss.
What?
What are you saying?
The feedback in the hat.
The feed in the back, no. That doesn't sound right.
You can't do the Lorax because that's just the feedback.
List of Dr. Seuss.
I think we've hit all the major ones.
Green eggs and feedback.
Green eggs.
Well, that has to do with color.
It's... Feed, eggs, and back.
Horton hatches a feedback. Horton hatches the egg is apparently a thing. If I ran the zoo, if I feed the back. Scrambled egg super what? Oh, wait, I wanted to do... Wasn't this the episode I wanted to do the Butter Battle Book? Like, I wanted to, like, Beelze Battle. No, that was a different one.
There's a book called The Foot Book.
That doesn't sound right.
That's...
Oh, Dr. Seuss, what were you teaching?
Fetishes.
Wait, so he also did Oh, the Things You Can Think?
What?
Oh, the Things You Can Think.
Great day for Up. How did he predict the movie already, like 25 years before it came out? Oh, the Places You Go was the last book. Huh. I am not going to get up today. What?
I am not going to feed back today.
You're only old once. You only feed once back. Hunches and bunches. Feed the cat's quizzer. The shape of music.
Oh, say, can you feed back?
I didn't realize that he did a sequel to Cat in the Hat. I thought that was just like movie properties.
Yeah, the Cat in the Hat.
The Cat in the Hat feeds back. The Cat in the Hat feeds back.
Sure.
Whatever. I'm tired of thinking about this.
I don't think it's weird though.
Let's just do feedback, 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 feedback.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
Okay.
Wow.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
Ash, what are your strong feelings about Pokemon Sun and Moon?
The game isn't out yet.
Asher, did you get the moon. Pokemon Go gadget thing?
Yeah, the update? Go gadget what? Pokemon, yeah.
No, I'm not spending money on this game. I don't have money! I don't have money.
Oh, yeah.
What game?
Well, I thought it might revolutionize your life or something.
No.
What game?
Pokemon Go, Andrew. Have you heard of it?
Oh.
Ashley's asking about the Pokemon Go gadget.
Yeah, I kind of bought the...
I don't know what it's called.
No.
Pokemon Go Plus?
Yeah, yes. Something like that.
I kind of bought it.
What?
If I don't like it, you can have it.
Wow, what a kind, loving brother.
If it sucks, then you can have it.
Wow.
Okay, one last comment.
You can find me on Twitter as... at Drew Softman.
Whoa.
Wait, did you change it?
I kind of don't post anything on Tumblr ever. Whoa.
Wait, it did change.
Wait, he's always been at Drew Softman.
Oh.
It's always that he's always plugged his Tumblr instead.
Wait, I don't know how to spell his name.
Aww.
Wait, is there an underscore?
No, it's at Drew Softman.
Oh, Drew. Oh. When you said you were saying at Drew Softman, I was like, Andrew Softman. Okay, yeah.
Oh.
I still can't spell it though. I found it. Okay, I found it. Oh, see, that's confusing. It's that your handle is Drew Softman, but your name is Phantom Shells F, which
good.
Is yes. The reverse of what I expected.
Yes, that is correct.
That okay, is correct, let but me not do this. Right.
I'm gonna do this again.
But you've tweeted, I scroll down and it's like, you've tweeted three times in September.
I think he adds.
Oh, yeah. You need to be creative, actually. Improv. Come on, watch the improv.
I don't.
Channel your inner, I don't know his name, either Key or Peele, one of the others. I don't remember which one's which. Michael Keegan Key? Is that his name?
Share the podcast with your friends. Period.
Wow. What did we talk about?
Feedback.
Share the podcast with your friends. Who feedback?
Share the podcast with your friends. Who?
Who?
Tie everything back to adventure.
Share the podcast with your friends who actually know about Chinese culture and don't have to look up Wikipedia before reading a comment.
don't share the podcast with your friends who think Ryo is cool.
We can't just say it every time.
Yes, I can. I have to reiterate. Don't share the podcast with friends. Don't share the podcast.
Share the podcast with your enemies and don't share it with your friends.
Share the podcast with your friends. Don't share the podcast with your enemies because we don't want your hate mail.
We never like have I think it's like a long enough topic to be a thing that I remember.
Share the podcast with your friends who have played all the Digimon worlds.
Share the podcast with your friends who don't have expectations.
Share the podcast with your friends who don't have expectations.
And period.
And don't share the podcast with your friends who...
Don't make friends with people who have expectations.
Don't make... Life advice.
Share the podcast with your friends, but don't make friends.
Don't make friends who have expectations. It's very different.
Okay. Share the podcast with your friends and share your friends with the podcast. That doesn't make sense. I thought it'd be funnier, but it actually makes too much sense.
You didn't chiasmus well. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. My chiasmus was off. I should practice my chiasmus more.
Chiasmus is the one fancy word I know.
Share the podcast with your friends who pull you out of depression by realizing that you're not. Share the podcast with your friends who pull you out of depression by making you realize you're not alone. And don't share the podcast with your sentient AI programs who cause you to go into depression by making you think that you don't have friends. Well, I don't know.
It's easier for Jeff and I to do it now that we can see each other.
Okay. I'm gonna once instead of saying zero, do it in like where I would say zero. Start talking. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Digivolve
your differences.
No, it's so much harder this way. much lag.
Digivolve your similarities.
Prodigious Garuromon.
You're not doing it right. So Asher, the highlight of the dub is when Gabumon digivolves to Garurumon, and like they all announce their names like they normally do, but like the voice of Garurumon for some reason just like seems to take a lot of pleasure in saying it, so they're like Garurumon. It's not that exaggerated, but it's Andrew. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that at all, Andrew?
I think we killed Andrew.
Andrew, did he not digivolve? And then
he did not digivolve. Wow.
Wait, so did you notice the Garurumon line like we did? Oh.
Garurumon!
Bargerman! Garurumon!
In some ways I feel bad because it kind of sounds like a stereotypical like gay person's voice.
Oh. I wasn't imagining that. I was imagining it's like someone who's like burst through the door and is just like really happy to... but I guess you're right. It does kind of sound like that.
I don't think that's intentional, though.
I was like, Ashley, you can't close your laptop. I'm not done recording. And then I realized that, right,
no,
I'm the one recording, both of us.
Never solve your problems?
Digivolve your differences.
Were we all supposed to do that?